As we read through the Gospels, John's Gospel especially, he talks about how Jesus came into the world, the Son of God, come into this world, the light shining. And so Jesus came to teach people about the kingdom of God, to reveal who God is to them, and to reveal who he is, to explain how he has come from God, and that he would then give his life as a sacrifice, as the lamb, the innocent lamb for our sin. Well, we find in John chapter 10, one of those places where Jesus speaks very clearly about this. It's hard enough to communicate lots of ideas in this world, whether it's ideas about politics or economics or philosophy. Different people will write books, they'll do lecture series, there are all sorts of things. Well, in Jesus' day, he preached to large crowds, crowds that were larger and larger, and he spoke to individuals. But he also trained up 12 apostles is what he called them, and leaders. And so they then wrote much of what he said and recorded it. Either they themselves wrote it down like John and Matthew, or they gave it to somebody else, like Peter probably gave it to Mark from what we can tell. Luke said that he talked to lots of people and gathered what they said about it. So we have Jesus' words recorded for us. So in these Gospels, we find Jesus using a series of parables. That's a story that they could all relate to get across a spiritual truth. So parables, illustrations, and memorable statements. And in the book of John especially, he has a series of what we call the I am statements. I am this, I am that, to help us understand who he was and what he was doing. Well, we will read one of those, a couple of those actually, today in John 10. So, John 10, the Good Shepherd. Well, let's read just the first 6 verses to begin with, and then we'll kind of go bit by bit here. So, John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him, because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So, very common, and so sometimes Jesus has to, his disciples will meet him privately, and can you tell us what this is supposed to mean? Well, we'll get to that. So, what we see here is that the shepherd of the sheep comes to the sheep pen in the right way. And so Jesus is using this as an analogy. The good shepherd will come to God's people in the right way. Now, God had already sent John the Baptist as the announcer, the one who was to prepare the way before the Messiah, to basically to open the door. So it was like he was that gatekeeper. And Jesus is saying, the good shepherd comes that way. And the gatekeeper opens the door to him. And he says in verse 3 that he calls each sheep by name. Each sheep by name. So the shepherd knows each of his sheep. And he calls them individually. And he says, now the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. They'll run away from anybody they don't recognize, but they recognize the shepherd's voice and they follow him out and he leads them to pasture. Well, Jesus used this in their day because they could all relate to shepherds and sheep. Has anybody seen a shepherd physically in our world? No? You have. All right. I've seen one in Kenya. I've seen farmers call cows, and sometimes they actually come. And horses sometimes. So maybe it's harder for us to relate to this. This was something easy for them. They understood sheep and shepherds. They didn't catch his illustration that too well, but they understood the sheep and the shepherds. So today, I don't know, maybe it'd be easier if we think in terms of pets. Okay, so people have pets, and that pet recognizes their voice, and they'll come. Have you ever tried to help somebody find a lost dog or cat? We've had numerous times, and you basically after the corner of the dog won't come to me. He didn't know me. He didn't know my voice. But we try to find him, and once the owner calls, maybe the owner, maybe the dog will follow the owner's voice and come to the, well, so that's, maybe that, we can relate to that better. Last week I was talking to Michael, and he was telling me about a project he did in school where they did face recognition. So instead of the gatekeeper, maybe we think in our day of face recognition software that will open the door for you or not, or open your phone, you can actually use it. Anyways, this spoke to them, and I think we can understand, but it may not quite catch our attention in the same way that it did to them. But even then, verse 6, it says they didn't understand. He didn't name himself in these first verses. He was saying the shepherd. They didn't understand. So he kind of repeats it, and he makes more clear, and he actually changes it a little bit as he keeps talking about sheep and shepherd here. So let's read on in verse 7. So verse 7, so Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. So we'll stop there and look at this. So Jesus kind of shifts. At this point, he says, I'm the door. I'm the door, or the gate of the sheep. Different versions are different. He's the way the sheep come in and out. He is that door. And he says that all who came before are thieves and robbers. And that may seem a little harsh, but what he's saying is the people who have called people, God's people, to themselves, they're the ones who are the thieves and the robbers. Now, God has sent other good prophets, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and they wrote, and God inspired them. So there have been good prophets that God sent. But he's talking about those who hear that are calling the sheep to follow them instead of God. Isaiah called people and said, follow God. So the good prophets were there speaking for God and saying, follow God. Don't worship me. Don't follow me. Follow God. But Jesus is saying there are many others who've come. And there would be many others in the future, and we've looked back now and can see, and even today, see people who want to call people to follow them. And he said, they're like thieves and robbers. They're coming to steal God's people, coming to kill and coming to destroy. And we realize that even in Jesus' day, there were others who were calling people to follow them. As we read in the book of Acts, there's a point where Jesus' followers are thrown in prison, and the religious rulers are trying to figure out, how do we stop this this just keeps the followers of Jesus keep growing and growing, and we're against that. So how do we stop this? And so there was one wise Pharisee named Gamaliel who said, now be careful. Think about this. Be careful what you do, because let's look back at some history. And he mentions two leaders who had risen up, gathered people to follow them, revolutionary type people. And he said, once the leader was gone, once, you know, killed or whatever, then all of the movement fizzled out. He said, that'll be the same with this, unless God's really behind it, and then you'd be fighting God, and you don't want to do that. So he said, let's just not make martyrs of these people. Let's not make a big deal about it. If Jesus is not from God, it'll just fizzle out. So the point is, there were lots, even in Jesus' day, who were calling people to follow themselves. And Jesus is saying they are the thieves and the robbers. Jesus says, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and come in and go out and find pasture. So he is the door, the way to be saved, the way to life. See, when Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, and then when they rebelled against God, when they sinned and ate the fruit, God sent them out of the garden. God didn't want them to eat the fruit of the tree of life, and so live forever, separated as an enemy with God. And so Jesus is here coming, saying, I'm coming from God, and I am the door back to God. I am the way that mankind now can come and have that relationship with God that God had intended from the beginning. That relationship with people, between God and people. So he is that door back to the garden, to be with God in fellowship. Here he says in verse 10, a thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And just like the serpent in the garden was there to tempt Adam and Eve and to get them to rebel against God and to get them to have God's punishment of death. And so in that way, he was there to kill them. And we see through the scripture that same thing over and over. And the devil, the serpent, uses many people throughout the scripture and even today, seeking to steal God's people, to kill them, to destroy them. He knows the end of the book. He knows at the end he will be thrown into the lake of fire. And he's trying to take as many people with him as possible. Misery love company, I guess, as they say. But Jesus offers life. And so he's contrasting himself with those who would lead people the wrong way. He says, I am that door to life, to salvation. So Jesus offers us life, an abundant life, he said there in verse 10. I've come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. And so this isn't just a physical life and make you rich and prosperous and everybody like you. It's a spiritual life, far more important than this physical world. God blesses us physically as well, but the spiritual, that relationship with him, that is what Jesus says. I've come to give you a life that nobody can take away from you. Even if you were to die as a follower of me, I take you on to be with me forever in heaven, and I will be that power, that strength in you that will help you through any persecution, through any suffering. that God has planned for you. I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. That spiritual life starts when we put our faith in Jesus. When, as Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. And so when someone hears his voice and follows him, then Jesus gives them his spiritual life. And that life, so they come alive spiritually, and they have that life through this life, this physical world. And when this physical body gets old and dies, or when Jesus comes back, whichever comes first, we go to be with him forever in heaven, in that relationship with God that he had intended from the beginning. So he is the door to that life. Not just one of many, but he is the door. Well, let's read on. Verse 11. So John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man, since he's not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he's a hired man, doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, as a father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I'm laying down my life so I may take it back up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. And again, a division took place between the Jews because of these words. Well, some in the crowd wanted to believe and did believe, and others didn't, but let's look at his words. So he's started verse 9 and verse before that he said, I'm the door. Verse 7 and verse 9, he said, I'm the door, the gate, the way into life. Now he's saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Now he says, when a wolf comes, when problem comes to steal the sheep and eat the sheep, anybody else would just not, they're not going to risk their life. And he brings that up to help contrast himself. He said, I am the good shepherd because I am going to lay down my life for the sheep. They could relate to that. And as we read in the book of 1 Samuel and in Psalms, as David was a shepherd, he's the second king of Israel. He was a shepherd as a boy growing up, and he talks about times when the lion or the bear would come and try to steal the sheep. He said, I fought them and I killed them to protect the sheep. So people of Jesus' day could relate to this. He loves the sheep so much. The good shepherd loves the sheep so much, he would lay down his life. He risked his life to fight the wolf. Well, Jesus is saying, not only am I going to risk my life, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep, to defeat the evil one, to defeat death and sin, and to end that punishment of God against people by righteously fulfilling that punishment. God's law was, the day you eat of this tree, you will die. And if you disobey God, you will die. Well, if I die, that's it. That's it for me. But Jesus could die in my place as a substitute, and then he had the power to be raised from the dead. So he can take your sin and my sin on himself and die, righteously fulfilling God's holy anger against our sin. And then he can raise from the dead. And that's what Jesus is saying, I'm going to do. The crowd wasn't sure. This is extreme. Could you imagine actually talking to someone and hearing someone say these words? Say, look, you look like a man. What do you mean you're the Son of God? What do you mean you can lay down your life and raise from the dead? That doesn't happen. Only the Son of God can do that. And Jesus said, that's who I am. That's what I'm going to do. Jesus explains how he is that way back to God. Now, verse 14, he says that I know my own sheep and they know me. That's reassuring. It's reassuring because sometimes we have a hard time even making up our own mind. He knows us. He knows us. He knows what we need. He knows us better than ourselves. And so we need to trust him who has made us and who knows us and who's provided salvation for us, provided life for us. We need to trust that he cares for us, and since he laid down his life for us, would he not do everything else that was necessary to really help us? Not necessarily what we might think. He's not going to help us win the lottery, probably, but he's going to help us in the way that he knows we need most. And so we need to trust a good shepherd like that. We need to trust that when he calls us and when he leads us in a direction, it's going to be the right direction for us. We need to trust that as he gave us his word and guided us and with commands, and this is the way to be holy and this is the way of sin, he knows what he's saying and we need to obey because we know the Good Shepherd and we know his voice. We can put our faith in him. Jesus says in verse 15, here he calls God his Father. He says, in verse 14, I know my sheep, my own sheep, and they know me as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So Jesus, again, numerous times has called God his Father. That's part of what really upset the leaders of the Jews. Because they saw he's a physical man, how could he also be the Son of God? They struggled with that. And people still struggle with that. Other religions say God can't have a son. Like, okay, you tell God that. God chose to have a son. A physical representation of himself. God chose to take on human form in Jesus. Yes, this is a mystery. It's what Christians call the Trinity, that God somehow is one, as God told Moses and through the Old Testament. God is one, and yet God also is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. That they are, for all eternity, eternity past, eternity future, they are three but one. And yes, this is not easy to explain in English, and yet we're talking about God. I mean, it's hard to explain some physical things in this physical world. Why would we think that everything to do with God would be simple? We just have to take what he's told us. And he, Jesus, called God his Father. And not in a way that we're all created by God and created in His image, so we're all like, you know, children of God. No, He is the unique Son of God. No earthly father, as the Gospels record. He is God come in the flesh. Well, verse 16, He tells us something else. He says that as the good shepherd, He helps us understand sort of some more of His mission. He said there will be one flock and one shepherd. He says, I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And so some speculate, was He talking about other religions? No. He says, they will listen to My voice. So if they listen to Jesus' voice, then the world calls them Christians. They're followers of Christ. Now, what He's saying is they are not Jews. Jesus came physically and He came to the Jews. And He really never traveled outside of Israel. Maybe one visit to Tyre, you know, nearby city. And there was a discussion there. But He came to the Jews and He made this very clear. I've been called to the house of Israel. But He said to His disciples, now you go to the rest of the world. His job was short time, narrow space, but He kept saying, this is just the start. I'm kindling the fire that you will take to the whole rest of the world. So people who are not Jews, people who are, you know, every nationality, every tongue and language will hear His voice and begin to follow Him. So there'll be one flock, one shepherd. So not a Canadian flock and a Philippine flock and a Caribbean flock and a Chinese flock or whatever. No, one flock. And not a Baptist flock and a Catholic flock and an Anglican flock. No, one flock following the one good shepherd, Jesus. Now, sometimes people will ask, why do Christians think they're the only right religion? Well, what I think isn't important. That's not the point. We're following the one who said, I am the door. I'm the only way. I am the good shepherd. And the only way I'm giving people life is by laying down my life and taking it back up again. The only way people get into this life is by coming through Me, hearing My voice and obeying. So that's why He's the only right way. And Christianity, in other words, following Jesus is what Christianity should be. That is the only way to God. Now people have come up with lots of different ideas and different theories and different, and one popular one is that it's, you know, getting to God is like having different roads that go up a mountain. So you can take the Hindu way or you can take the Buddhist way or you can take the Christian way. They're all different ways up to the same mountain. Interesting idea, but it doesn't fit with what Jesus said. If there was some other way for people to get up the mountain, Jesus would not have had to die. He would not have given His life on the cross for us. So He is the door, the good shepherd, and the only way to life is through Him. It's important for us to be able to understand and to be able to share these things with people and do it humbly. It's not me. Okay. It's not my religion. It was here long before I ever decided to follow. I'm just sharing what Jesus has said. The Father always loved Jesus. As He says in verse 17, this is why the Father loves Me, because I'm laying down My life so that I may take it up again. So if the Father, as I said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, living for all of eternity as three and yet one, loving each other in a way we try to find, understand, and follow. But here, this gives Jesus an opportunity to prove his love for the Father like nothing else. His willingness to leave heaven and to take on human form and then to be killed as a criminal to pay the penalty for our sin. That is how Jesus proves his love for the Father. Other places, Hebrews explains this as well, but here Jesus is saying, this is why the Father loves me, because I'm proving my love for him in obedience to him. Now, verse 18 is crucial. And can you imagine hearing a man tell you this? Hearing him, looking at his eyes and seeing face to face, I will lay down my life, die, and I will take it back up again. And that is exactly what Jesus is saying. Now, people debate, scholars these days, supposed scholars, want to debate why Jesus died. Was he just too revolutionary? Were his ideas ahead of their time too much? Was he not smart enough to evade the authorities? Were the Jewish religious leaders just too stuck in their mode, their way? No. Jesus said, I am laying down my life. This is his choice. He knows what's coming, and he tells his disciples, as you read through the Gospels, he tells them over and over. They're walking down the road, and he'll take them aside and say, guys, I got to remind you, we're going to Jerusalem where I am going to die on a cross. And they're like, we trust you, but we don't understand this. Nobody walks to his death willingly like this. This isn't making sense. And they didn't understand until they saw him risen from the dead. And then they were beginning to understand and beginning to then share that with everyone else. Jesus says, nobody's taking my life from me. I am laying it down. Well, the good shepherd, amazing words. This may be, there are numerous passages where we can take someone and help explain to them who Jesus was and why he's the only way to understand the life that he offers them. This is a great one. And so as you have opportunity to talk with friends or relatives, work associates, this is a great one to have them read or to read with them and talk with them. Because see, everyone needs this good shepherd. Not everyone recognizes. Even as we read, verse 19, the division took place among the Jews because of these words. Some wanted to hear it. Some didn't want to hear it. And in the same way today, and throughout history, as Isaiah said, we're all like sheep, but going our own way. And God laid on him the sin of us all. So we are all tending to want to go our own way. Let me challenge you. Hear the voice of the shepherd calling you. Hear his voice and obey him. Now, I don't want to pressure people. I don't want to rush people because that's, Jesus even said, count the cost. Think this through. Make a full decision for me. Count the cost. But when you hear his voice, come running to him. Don't run away. We enter life by believing in Jesus. Well, join with me as we pray. Lord, we thank you for these words that Jesus gave then and had his disciples write down so that we could understand who he was and what he did. And we thank you for the life that you have given us as we put our faith in Jesus. And Lord, I know that there are some hearing who may not have yet taken that step of believing in Jesus, of following the voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the only good shepherd. But Father, I pray that you would speak to their hearts and that they would hear Jesus' voice and know that he is true. He is calling them to follow you. He's the only way to life. And I pray that you would give them the faith to believe that Jesus laid down his life as a sacrifice for our sin and then rose from the dead, proving he was God come in the flesh, proving that he now has the power to give life to each who believe in him. Father, I thank you that you then put your Spirit in us who believe and empower us to live this new spiritual life for you. Lord, we rejoice and we look for opportunities to share this message of Jesus with everyone, because we know, as Jesus said, he's got sheep from other places that he will bring together, and we want to be part of that. We want to be helping to spread his message so that more and more people will put their faith in Jesus and be that part of that one flock. So Lord, we rejoice in the mission you've given us, your followers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.